All right. I want to get into the question today, and I think it's a very fitting question. I'm going to read you the email, and then I'll get into our Bible answer. This person, his name is Chad. He says, I came across a couple of your YouTube videos trying to find answers that I can understand about getting saved, being saved, sin, etc. So he has four questions here, and his fourth question has three sub-questions. I like this. He definitely wants to have an answer. So we're going to answer the most that we can in the limited time that we've got. Number one, how does someone know they're saved? Number two, once you go to Jesus to ask to be saved, do you also have to be saved in a church? Number three, when you want to be saved, do you have to go to your church pastor and ask him to do this with you in the presence of Jesus? Number four, once you're saved, since mankind is not perfect and you commit a sin or sin willfully knowing, what do you do? Another part of that question, do you ask Jesus for forgiveness and repent? And the last part of that question is, are you able to ask for forgiveness once you sin? One reason I ask this is in the Bible, it says once you receive the word of truth, the truth, and are saved, and you sin, there is no more sacrifice for sins. And that's a reference from Hebrews 6. I'm very afraid of being in the no forgiveness zone and being condemned. I'm trying to be a Christian. I'm living for the Lord. I'm living for God, reading my Bible and looking stuff up from the Bible for a more understandable answer to things I read. No swearing, no lusting, which he says are two of the bigger things in his life. He's trying to control his temper, his impatience. He says, I have my good and bad days. Don't we all? Don't we all have good and bad days? A lot of temptation out there in the world, but I fall off the wagon once in a while. Well, Chad, I'm so glad that you've written to us, and I'm glad that we have an opportunity to answer that question. So let's go through it. His first question is, how does someone know they are saved? This is important to understand. If you go to Ephesians in chapter 1, in verse 13, we see how a person can know that they have eternal life. Here's what it says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now, this has eternal security written all over it. Before a person can have assurance of their salvation, they have to believe on something. And the something that they have to believe on, as it says in verse 13 of Ephesians 1, the gospel of your salvation. And that is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Have you, as an individual, believed on the Lord Jesus Christ that what he did on the cross was done for you and that he rose again 3 days later? If you believe in what Jesus did for you, you can have assurance of your salvation. One of the greatest assurances is that you receive the Holy Spirit of promise, verse 14, which, and that which that is mentioned there is the Holy Spirit, not a witch like a magical thing, W-H-I-C-H, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Well, what does that mean? The Holy Spirit is a down payment on your salvation. Your salvation is already complete, but God gives us the Holy Spirit as an earnest of our coming inheritance. When we put our trust in Jesus Christ, we become children of God. We don't get that inheritance right away, but someday when we die, we'll be in heaven with him forever. And as his child, we have an inheritance. As we live this life here and continue to sin, all that sin has been paid for. The Holy Spirit has been given to us. The Holy Spirit indwells every single believer, even you, Mr. Chad, who have asked this question. That's how you know you are saved, because what Jesus Christ did on the cross was complete. God has given us as a down payment the Holy Spirit of promise. It shows us that he means business about our salvation. If you look over to Ephesians chapter 4, all the way down there to verse 30, we have another great little promise here about knowing a person is saved. It says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed. Now, it's going to be important to know how long are you sealed? Unto the day of redemption. So you can't sin yourself out of the family of God. All your sin has been paid. The only thing that you can sin yourself into is discipline from your heavenly Father, who will lovingly correct you as Hebrews 12 explains to us. So let's look at question number two. Once you go to Jesus to ask to be saved, do you also have to be saved in a church? The resounding answer to that question is no. There is nowhere in Scripture that says a person has to be in a particular physical location in order to be saved. I like the testimony of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. This Ethiopian eunuch is traveling. In Acts 8:26, it says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." So he's in the desert, and this Ethiopian eunuch is traveling, and he's reading Isaiah. And he asked this question of Philip, and he said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Verse 32, the place of the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth." So he's this Ethiopian eunuch in the desert traveling, is reading Isaiah, and Philip comes up to him and says, "You understand what you're reading?" He says, "No, I need someone to explain it to me." And so Philip continued into Acts 8:35, and it says, "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Now, Philip knows you can't be baptized properly, because baptism is only a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk again in newness of life. You can't baptize somebody who is not saved. And so Philip says in Acts 8:37, which interestingly enough in a lot of new translations is removed, but this verse in the King James Bible remains. "And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the one who came to pay for all the sins of the world." Because at this time, the testimony of Jesus was rampant, and it was exploding. But this man was in the desert. There's no verse that I can think of, I'm 100% confident, that there's no verse in the Bible that says you have to be saved in a particular location. Now, many people end up getting saved in church, but just because that's where a majority of people end up trusting Christ doesn't mean that's the only place that you can. So the answer to the question, once you go to Jesus to ask to be saved, do you also have to be saved in a church? No. And also, you don't have to ask to be saved. You just have to simply believe. Forgiveness is offered to every single person. The Bible tells us in John chapter 1 that as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. All you have to do is receive that free gift, even to them that believe on his name, as John 1:12 says. All right, let's look at question number three. When you want to be saved, do you have to go to your church pastor and ask him to do this with you in the presence of Jesus? The answer to that question is no. I want you to always think about salvation like this. It is a free gift available to anyone at any time before they die. There is no place that they have to be. There is no person that needs to be there. People have trusted Christ by simply reading the scripture, by simply studying the Bible, and they come across the truth of Jesus Christ and they get saved. It's nice to have somebody walk with you, you know, walk you through understanding we're all a sinner and the payment for sin is death. Perfection is required to get into heaven. You can't work your way to heaven. You need a Savior. Jesus Christ was that Savior. He was fully God and fully man. And what he did on the cross was that he took all his sin, all your sin upon him, and paid for it. And he rose again 3 days later to prove that that payment was made. It's helpful for someone to walk you through that. But you do not have to be in the presence of a church pastor in order to be saved. When you trust on Jesus Christ, there is an instantaneous sealing that happens in your life. You are translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. The Bible tells us that he that believeth is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already. So you go from being condemned already because you did not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to now being sealed. You're not condemned anymore, instantly. It doesn't matter if a church pastor led you to Christ, and it doesn't matter if you... I don't really understand, and I can see where this can be very experiential at the end of this question, and ask him to do this with you in the presence of Jesus. Friend, we live in the presence of God. God is all-knowing. He's all-powerful. It says in John 3, at the end of that chapter, it says, when those who believe not, the wrath of God abideth upon them. So before you trust in Christ, the wrath of God is abiding over you. And just imagine if you die without Christ, that wrath comes down on you as a payment for the sin that you did not have taken care of because you didn't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But the rest of that verse, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. So all you have to do is believe. Doesn't matter where, doesn't matter with who. It matters who you're trusting in, Jesus. So let's answer these last couple questions here. Number four, part one. Once you're saved, since mankind is not perfect and you commit a sin or a sin willfully knowing, what do you do? Well, if you go to 1 John, and 1 John is a book written for believers. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This doesn't mean that the sin that we sin is put back onto our account. It hurts our walk with the Lord. And therefore, if we confess it, God is faithful and just to forgive us of those sins that have hurt us in that walk and to cleanse us back into a right fellowship with him. The relationship doesn't change. We're always going to be God's child after we have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. His next question is, do you ask Jesus for forgiveness and repent? Repent as in change your mind about that sin? I would think that's a good thing, especially if, as it says here in 1 John 1:9, confess our sins. And are you able to ask for forgiveness is his last question. The answer to that is yes, you are able to ask for forgiveness. And we can ask for forgiveness continually, a part of communion, where we remember the death and the body and the blood that was shed for us at Calvary by Jesus Christ, is to get ourselves right with God, to get all that sin taken care of so that we don't partake of communion unworthily with sin in our lives, with unconfessed sin in our lives. And listen, you have two natures. You have a flesh nature that has been with you since the day you were born. And you have a spirit nature that has been with you since the day you were born again. And that spirit nature needs to be fed by the Word of God. And the flesh nature needs to be starved by the studying of God's Word. This is why prayer is so important. This is why soul winning is so important. This is why regular church attendance is so important. And this is why studying your Bible is so important. All those things help you to walk in the Spirit. And I think it's good, Chad, that you are trying to live a good Christian life, but I don't want you to depend on the way you live your life as a proof that you're saved. There are many characters in the Bible that lived wicked, horrible lives, and because they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to heaven. It had nothing to do with what they did. It had everything to do with what Jesus already did on the cross.